All right, Acts chapter 16. We're just going to read two verses to get started. Verse 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Lord Jesus, thank you for the word of God this evening. Lord, thank you for the ladies that sang to us this evening. Thank you for the truth that is in those songs. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that we can nail our sins to the cross. Thank you for your faithfulness, that you've always been good to us. You are always good, no strings attached. No matter what happens, Lord, you are always good. You're faithful. Lord, help us tonight as we look into your word. I pray that you'd help us to be open and honest before you, humble before you as to what you would have us to learn. Lord, your word says that without you, we can do nothing. I am not desirous tonight, Lord, to accomplish nothing. I want you to do great and mighty things in our hearts. Turn us to you where we need to turn to you and encourage us where necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I understand that this is Sunday evening, and so what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to keep you awake. I'm going to read you a story. Now, again, Pastor, okay, we're going to get to the Bible. This is not going to be one of those churches, okay, where I read you a story and everybody goes home. Maybe you've heard of this book before, and I have never seen the movie, so I cannot say anything about it. This is not connected to the movie at all, but it's an old book. It's called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Anyone ever heard of that book? You should read it every day for your devotions, okay? Alexander the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. This is how it goes for you ladies that are skipping college right now, okay? Are you skipping? You got to... Oh, okay. So you're going back. "I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. When I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his breakfast cereal box, and Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his breakfast cereal box, but in my breakfast cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. In the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Becky have a seat by the window. Audrey and Elliot got seats by the window, too. I said I was being scrunched. I said I was being smushed. I said if I don't get a seat by the window, I'm going to be carsick. No one even answered. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, Mrs. Dickens liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. At singing time, she said I sang too loud. At counting time, she said I left out 16. Who needs 16? I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I could tell because Paul said I wasn't his best friend anymore. I hope you sit on a tack, I said to Paul. I hope the next time you get a double-decker strawberry ice cream cone, the ice cream part falls off the cone and lands in Australia. Boys and girls, he's not filled with the Spirit right now. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds, and Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had little coconut sprinkles on the top. Guess whose mother forgot to put in dessert? It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's what it was. On the way downstairs from visiting the dentist, the elevator door closed on my feet, and while we were waiting for my mom to go get the car, Anthony made me fall over his money, and then when I started crying because of the mud, Nick said I was a crybaby, and while I was punching Nick for saying crybaby, my mom came back with the car and scolded me for being muddy and fighting. That always happens. Don't ever be the second person to fight. Be the first. I am having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I told everyone. No one even answered. So then we went to the shoe store to buy some sneakers. Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes. Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue ones with red stripes. But then the shoe man said, "We're all sold out." That happens to me. Does that happen to you? Find it. You can't find the right size either. There were lima beans for dinner, and I hate limas. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. Do you have those still? Yeah, okay. I hate my railroad train pajamas. Now, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen closely enough to the message, then I will finish the story for you at the very end. But you have to listen very carefully, okay? Now, obviously, I'm just being silly with that. But think about it in your own life. Have you ever had a day like that? I think we all have. A day when nothing ever goes right. It all is just messed up. We get up and someone didn't get milk. There's no milk. Our toast burns. The hair dryer's not working right. Our hair looks awful, ladies. It's just not going the way it's supposed to. The kids aren't behaving the way, and so everything is just, it's so difficult. And in that moment, it is so easy to allow the flesh to control us that we get our minds off of the bigger picture and what God is trying to do. Do you realize that when you wake up and everything is not going the way you want it to go, that God, the Bible says, is still concerned for souls? The Bible still says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible still says when you're angry because it didn't go your way in the morning, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And many times we compartmentalize our life and we go to visitation or we go soul winning. Okay, we got that down. And then we go home and everything else is a wreck and we can't, it's just not going the way we want to. But at least we did visitation. At least we went soul winning. Do you realize that it may be that God allows your day to go bad, if we want to put it that way, so that He brings you in contact with a soul that is seeking Him. And if you're not prepared, you miss the opportunity. I know that missionaries come through here perhaps all the time and they preach on go, go, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and rightfully we should. But many times with us, we're not prepared when the soul comes to us. We're not ready. And we're just going through our daily life and a soul comes and we're not prepared with the gospel. Do you notice what happened with Paul and Silas? In fact, they were going, and while they were going, a soul came to them. Here's how it works, all right? The circumstances that precede that coming soul, if you look in your Bible, I'm not going to read it all for you, but basically in verse 16 it says, they went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And so she follows Paul, cries out, and Paul gets angry and he's grieved. And he says to the spirit in verse 18, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Uh-oh. Verse 19, her master saw that their money-making scheme, saw that the hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Let me ask you a question. Are they troubling the city? It's a lie. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Don't miss this. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Can I tell you something about their day? It was not a wonderful, exciting, pleasant day. We could probably say that Paul and Silas are having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I mean, their clothes are torn off of them. They're beat in their back. They're thrown into the inner prison where there's no light. There's barely any air. And they can't see anything. And their backs are bleeding. Their feet are fast in the stocks. And at that moment, it had been so easy for them to say, oh, poor us. Put it on Facebook. Twitter it. Hashtag can't believe this is us. That kind of thing. Many times we come to that point in our lives where we let little things. This is a big thing for them. I don't know about you. There are many trials that come along Christians' lives. There's huge trials like cancer and being in the hospital and losing a loved one. Those are major trials. But many of us face little trials on a daily basis that get us looking away from God and looking ourselves and our comfort and what we don't have. I actually did a survey on Facebook, of all places, and I said, what gets you in the flesh? What little things? Well, someone said this, the kids fight and spill or break something. You lose the kid's other shoe. You ever done that? And you're ready, getting ready for church, ladies, and the other shoe is missing? It's probably with the other sock in the dryer somewhere. How about this? The person in front of you, they grab their food in the drive-thru, and then they sit there. That's what somebody said. They just sit there. Or, have this ever happened to you? You're sitting at a light, and the person in front of you, you're one car back, and the person in front of you turns green, and they're sitting there, either on their cell phone, whatever, they're sitting there, and so you want to be a good Christian, don't you? You don't want to pull out the carnal horn, so you pull out the Christian horn, the little meep, meep. Just to make them aware that the light's green. You don't want to be mean. And so they look up, and oh, they realize it's green. And so then they go, and they hit the gas, and as soon as they hit the gas, it turns yellow, turns red on you. You ever happened to you? Those kind of things. Do you realize that a flat tire never happens when it's on a good schedule? You know what? Today would be a great day for a flat tire, Lord. It'd be a really good day. Maybe today, Lord. It doesn't happen that way. Engine problems don't happen that way. Family problems don't happen that way. They don't happen on a schedule. And who you work with, many times you're put with somebody that you, frankly, don't enjoy to work with. But really, if you look at the sovereignty of God, He's put you there because He's always concerned for souls. He's not always concerned for your comfort. He's concerned for souls. We've got to look away from that. So Paul and Silas, here they are in prison, and they have a choice, the choice that prepares for the coming soul. Look at verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas whined and groaned. No, it says they prayed and sang praises unto God. Wait a minute, what? Paul and Silas, do you not realize what just happened to you? You're just thrown into the inner prison and your feet are fastened in stocks and you're singing? You're praying? Did you not get the memo? That caught my attention, the word prayed. That's what we miss many times. Things are frustrating, things aren't going right, and we skip right over prayer. And we get even more frustrated and more angry. I can't believe this is happening. And do you realize because of that, bad things begin to happen even more? You ever happened to you? Something goes wrong, and then you get angry and frustrated, and then you call something else to mess up. When if you would have turned to God, it might have been a little easier. It may not always. You know, the word is prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, or were listening. It's a verb, someone says this, a rare verb that means to listen with pleasure as to a recitation or music. The prisoners are listening with pleasure to this music that they're singing. They were just thrown in prison. A man said this, quote, "The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven." The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. You know, the root of the issue is whether or not we believe God is good all the time. Do you believe God is good all the time? Even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we can't see what God is doing, He is good all the time. The lady sang that tonight. God is good. That's all we can say. The Bible says in Psalm 84:11, "The Lord God's a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." I remember my dad. My dad used to be a missionary in Togo, West Africa. I was actually born over there. I lived there till I was 6 years old. And he wanted to go back. We came back to the States and stayed here for a while so we could all go to college. And he wanted to go back after a while, but the Lord shut that door, and so now He really supports us. He fixes our vehicles. He gives us more financially than anybody else, just sacrificing for us. I believe He's getting more eternal rewards than if He would have even gone over to Africa. And so he goes back over to Africa every once in a while with short-term mission trips, and he took some people over to Chad, Africa. He knows a few of the languages. And it's a medical thing. My dad's a physician assistant, and so they took a bunch of medicine piled high in these two trucks while they're driving away from the airport. And my dad says that he was in the front seat, and there was another missionary driving, and then there was the truck behind them with some other nurses. And so they're driving along. They kept having flat tires. I mean, this is Africa here. And so finally, they were going about 45 miles an hour, my dad said, and they lost a tire. The man couldn't control the truck, and so he swerved off and hit a culvert, and they actually rolled the truck a few times. My dad said the ladies behind them and the truck behind them just started weeping because they figured everybody in that truck had perished. Well, nobody was even seriously hurt. They all climbed out. At that point, it had been easy to say, "Lord, all this medicine is everywhere, and all this, and we're trying to get somewhere and do the work that You've called us to do," but my dad didn't do that. In fact, because of the accident, he thinks there was about 100 Muslims that gathered around the truck, probably in shock that people came out. And so my dad stood on top of the truck and started preaching the gospel to 100 Muslims. God is concerned for souls. And if we would be ready and willing and waiting, he could use us. But many of us are so focused on us. You know, we could just go about our daily lives. Ladies, you go to the store, you go to the park with your kids. We just go our daily, it's not like we have to go every day and go here. We just go about our daily lives, and God is bringing people to us. If we just be ready. I am terrible at this. That's why I'm preaching this, because God laid it on my heart for me. But I remember there was a time, my office sometimes, when we didn't have internet, was anything that had internet. McDonald's, Dairy Queen, Burger King, whatever has internet. And so this is about 4 or 5 months ago. I walked out of a Dairy Queen. There's a man sitting there. And God made it obvious. Talk to him. Give him one of the Bibles you give to the people in prison. So I ran to my car, got him a Bible, sat down with him. He had just been fired from Dairy Queen. And he was broken. And him and his marriage with his wife was just messing up. And his wife actually pulled up to pick him up. And he totally ignored her and was focused on the gospel that I was giving him. And at some point when I said the words, peace, joy, his tears running down his cheeks because he didn't know what peace and joy was. All I was doing was walking out of Dairy Queen. After that happened, I thought, God, how many of these Cody's is his name, how many of these Cody's have I missed? I'm just going about my daily business. How many of them have I missed? And I remember one of these difficult times that we had was we used to have another trailer, and it fell apart pretty quickly. Praise the Lord for the one we have now, and we lost the springs on that trailer underneath it pretty quickly. There was too much weight on it, and so we had to get the springs fixed, and so we were parked at a campground, and the pastor knew a lot about fixing stuff, and so he came over to the campground and was working on changing all the springs underneath a 40-foot RV. That takes a lot of time. Well, I mean, my family's like living like this and then like this while we're jacking this thing up. And it wasn't all that. It was late at night. Well, there's a man that was down the campground road that had let us use another jack. He came over and wanted to see what his jack was being used for and just started talking to us. I'll never forget what he said. When he found out we were both preachers, he said, "Oh, you're probably not going to like me. I'm a homosexual." Well, neither one of us were taken back. Like, we didn't run away. And I said something that someone at my church has told me before about his testimony. I said, "Sir, if you were not a homosexual, where would you go when you died?" He said, "I go to hell." I said, "If you are a homosexual, where would you go?" He said, I go to hell." I said, "Homosexuality is not your problem. Sin is your problem. You've got to deal with that before a holy God." I don't know what happened to that man, but because we were uncomfortable, he came along. That doesn't always happen. I'm just telling you the good times. I could tell you time after time when I've been frustrated at a tire, something happens on the truck, and we just don't feel like being ready. We just don't feel like it. They had a chance to run away, and because our time is getting short here, we're going to go to the last point here. When the pursuer, God, the soul, comes together. Obviously, there's an earthquake. You know the story. Paul and Silas could have escaped. The man was going to kill himself. Look at verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Again, what I've been saying through the whole message is God is concerned for souls. Can I even say it this way, in a singular way? God is concerned for a soul. This morning we heard that there's rejoicing in the presence in the angels over how many sinners? One sinner that turns to Christ. And here this man comes to them and says, "I've heard you singing. You've heard they're singing about Jesus." And he says, "How can I know that I'm saved?" And Paul says, "Listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And can I tell you something? The same thing that Paul said to this jailer is the same thing I tell you this evening. If you've never come to Jesus, if you have no peace and joy, you come to Jesus simply by faith. Believe. Place your dependence on the fact that Jesus died on a cross and took all of your sins and faced the wrath of a holy God for you. Died on the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That He died for us. He took our place. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He rose again, and now he lives and invites you to come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. But you must turn to him like this jailer did. His whole house turned to him. Don't miss the one. Don't miss the soul. That many times as an evangelist, I want to see a crowd. I want to see everybody get saved. But sometimes it's just the one. It's just the one that you see. When it's difficult, when things don't make sense, when something pops, when something doesn't go your way, have your eyes open, because they're coming. They're coming. If you know the Lord, they're coming. Remember Esther? Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God is sovereign. I told you that I would finish the story. I know that you were paying attention because you wanted to hear it. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not with me. I would say, amen. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom says some days are like that, even in Australia. Listen, don't be like Alexander. If you move to Australia, there will still be terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. Many of us are hoping for that Australia in our lives. When I could get out of this, when I could go here and do that, then everything will be okay, and then I'll start giving the gospel. That's not how it works. Be ready tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow. If you're prepared, God will bring them to you. Lord, thank you that you are always broken and concerned for souls. Thank you that you are broken for the one. We do know that this man and his whole house trusted you, but it started with him, the one sinner that comes to you. Lord, I pray that you would help me. Tomorrow we travel again. Things can go wrong. We could see people that we really don't want to see in a way because something may have gone wrong to see them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be prepared. Really, it's just a matter of being unselfish, having an eternal perspective on life, to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. In Jesus' name, amen.